The man lived from 1694 to 1778. He was a playwright, a satirist, and a philosopher. He wrote at a time when the church and state were united and both of them were corrupt. He trumpeted the separation of church and state that we have now, and for very good reasons. The notion that the monarchy was ordained of God was ridiculous to him, though. Unlike Martin Luther, who attempted to reform the church, or the Anabaptists, who started their own, this man sought to bring doubt to the minds of Christians concerning the divine authority of the Bible. We know this man as Voltaire. His words became like leavened a lump of dough. His belief that there is no biblical doctrine has led churches over the last 250 years to abandon biblical teachings for man's philosophies. And it was said that Voltaire had made statements that within 100 years, the Bible would only be a relic of antiquity. That's been almost 243 years ago since his death. The Bible still today is very far from being a relic of antiquity. But that doesn't stop people from buying into the belief that the Bible is not relevant for us today. It was good back then. It was good for shepherds and scribes. But it seems today to many people be far removed from society and where it is. It has come to a point where fixing a transmission or resurrecting a crashed hard drive is a major concern. We live in a society today, the world over. Morality is viewed by that which makes one feel good or feel happy. We live in a nation that seeks to use political and legal systems to fix injustices. And yet those things cannot be fixed until we speak to the heart of the problem and come to the solution. Today, society wants to take 2 inches off a road to fix a bad road instead of digging it up and fixing the part that causes the crumbling, the very base of a road. They use all of these things to question and to ridicule biblical authority. But what is biblical relevancy and authority today? Peter makes his position very clear when he tells about the things that he saw and heard when Jesus was transfigured in front of him. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 16 through 20, Peter writes to the brethren here, "For we do not follow cleverly devised myths, when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have a prophetic word, more fully confirmed, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretations." There is a lot more evidence that the Bible is more than just words written down by men. The evidence of authenticity is also evidence of its divine guidance. If you look at all the archaeological evidence, the scientific evidence, the mathematical evidence, all of it speaks to the evidences that help us to put our faith in this written word. This word being the Word of God. Let's think for just a moment about the men who wrote and lived and died for what they know was truth. One such person was Paul. When you look at his life unfolding in the book of Acts, and you can see how he became such a changed man in his letters to people and to the churches. In 2 Timothy, we find him helping Timothy to stand with the doctrines that was found in God's revelation. Now, Timothy, by virtue of his age, would never have seen nor heard Jesus in person. I guess you could call him a second-generation Christian. So his lack of a personal connection, yet his great faith in what Paul taught and teaches to this day is evidence of another truth. You know, a person can live a lie, and they can go through the pain and suffering for that lie. But when hundreds of people or thousands of people are willing to die, you have to stand back and ask yourself, why would they do that for a lie? You know, Jesus was very correct when he rebuked the Pharisees and Sadducees and the old Jews for killing the prophets, because the prophets of old were killed. And the reason they were killed was because they were repeating God's word, God's revelation that they had received. Christians died at the hands of people who wanted them to deny Jesus and the resurrection. But they didn't. They willingly went to their demise because they believed with all their hearts it was the truth. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul, in verses 10 through 13, as for Timothy, both praise and a warning for following the doctrines of God as being relevant. Here he says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from all of them the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." If we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if we really believe that Jesus died for our sins, that he was raised from the dead so that we could have eternal life, if we really believe that God's teaching on how to live our lives morally, ethically, spiritually, and every otherly, and we understand this truth, the world will not like us. And they want us to change. Already, the world has mocked us and will continue to do so. They will say all kinds of evil things about us. They will call us hypocrites because sometimes we stumble and fall. But we're not hypocrites at heart. But they don't want others to believe that. They want us to stop talking about Christ, the one who lifts us up, the one who tears up all the old road and puts down a good, solid roadbed so that it doesn't crack and crumble after a couple of years. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy. Now, we might be thinking at sometimes that, you know, that we get it, but still in this day and age, the Bible has lost some of its relevancy. But we can address that statement. And the best way to do it is to make sure that we understand God's intent on His word to man. You know, Jesus, He had called out the Jews. And He would talk to them about the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament. That's what they had to live by. In the 5th chapter of John, in verses 39 and 40, Jesus, He told them, He said, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may also live." These verses here, these two verses that Jesus spoke, tells us the purpose. That the Old Testament purpose was to guide the Hebrew people to Him. You know, it's why we read of men like Stephen, Peter, Apollos, Paul, and others, they used the Scriptures to argue about the death of Christ, to let people know that what they saw, what they heard was true, that it was prophecy. They used these Old Testament Scriptures to bring people to Jesus. If you were to ask Christians today, is Jesus still relevant? Most will answer yes. Because our Scriptures are our schoolmasters. They're our teachers. They're our guide. It's the things that brought us to an understanding of what it meant to say Jesus is the Son of God. But what is the purpose of the Bible? Is it something to set on a coffee table to collect dust, to let people see that you have one? Is it one that sits in the car in the hot sun day in and day out, instead of being carried back and forth and being close at hand? You know, the Hebrew writer tells us that that the Word of God digs deep within us because it is living and active. And Paul instructs Timothy with the words that often are very familiar with us in 2 Timothy 3 in verses 14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from your childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The purpose of God's Word, whether it's from the Old Testament or the New Testament, is to make us wise. Wise for salvation through Jesus Christ. When we open up our Bibles, we are looking at words that God breathed. It's His message. It helps teach us. It helps show us where we are in error. In other words, reproofing. And it gives us instructions. It tells us how to correct our actions. If we live by God's message, we will become complete. We will become equipped for every good work. The Bible is more than a prop. It's the property of God's message for how we are to live today. Yes, we can have all the gadgets in the world. We can move at the speed of light in this world as far as society goes. But it doesn't diminish one bit the power of the gospel. It teaches us that loving our neighbor is not about doing that only if the neighbor meets a standard of ours. Loving that person for who they are. The reason for that is because they were loved by God first. It teaches us that their gender, ethnicity, financial status, or spiritual walk has nothing to do with do we love them? Do we show mercy to them in their hour of need? The Bible corrects our actions. It corrects our character. It molds us to becoming an ambassador for Christ. It teaches us how to honor God each and every day with our lives and our worship. Now, the Bible is not intended to be a rule book to beat us up. It's intended to be a letter of love to bring us home. It makes us the type of person God created us to be in the first place. Not argue about translations and the problems that have happened over the years by taking the Bible from one language to another. There are errors in every translation because words influence our understanding. But regardless of the translation, it does not negate the authenticity or the authority of God's message today. God gave us a guarantee. Not a limited warranty guarantee, it is a full guarantee that if we live by faith in Him, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, if we meditate upon His Word and allow it to transform us into a child of God, a child that He has created us to be, we'll be blessed because of what Jesus is doing in us today. We can point out every failure in someone's character. We can point out every sin that someone has ever committed. We could probably point out when someone has not stood for those in need. But God's Word is not at fault. We cannot blame that for our failures. It is relevant to the heart that is open, who wants to hear the message of good news, who wants to bring a deep down joy in their lives, and who's willing to be changed by the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible lived by us is better than a Bible quoted to us. It will always be relevant. Always be relevant. No matter how far out this world eventually gets, the message will always be the same. And we must not allow it to lose its relevancy within our own hearts. If you're not a Christian tonight and it is your desire to be added to God's church, to obey the gospel and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. But if you are in need of our prayers, we want to give you that opportunity also. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we sing.